Welcome back, every Skullscastian. My name is Kaz, and this is the Skullscast, episode 80-something, wherever I end up cramming it in, because I don't know what the numbers are yet. And we're here to talk about Dark Souls. Joining me today are two Skulls who have been with me before. We have Sly09.
Yeah, hello.
And Gnome Mitten.
I'm Gnome Mitten.
And I think, Gnome Mitten, you were actually the one who recommended Dark Souls to me a long time ago. You're like, hey, cotton much to Dark Souls? And I'm like,
I've been infecting people with it for a while. I got him into it. I got friend of the show Kavanaugh and Logical to You into it. And I like it for a lot of reasons, and we'll get into that.
Okay. Well, let's, I guess, start out by describing what this is all about and what I have done and what I failed to do.
The backstory for those 70 hours.
So I've heard you've played Dark Souls, Kaz.
I have played Dark Souls. I beat Dark Souls, I guess. I got the credits. That's beating it. There we go.
We finished lap one.
Okay. Oh my god. But anyway, so I took it upon myself to spite you, Gnome, by ignoring everyone, including you, because I knew that I had kind of seen you go, like, you got Slyo and Kavanaugh and Logical to play, and I would see that you guys were streaming it, and, you know, for the, like, split second that I would join in, it's like, what do I do? And then you kind of suggest things, and I'm like, I want to evaluate this game as it stands on its own. I want to see how it teaches and see if I can learn just by playing the game and like shut out absolutely all external to game information sources.
See, I really appreciate that, because what I did with Sio9 especially, and Logical and Kavanaugh as well, is I was there suggesting things, but I was also horribly lying to them.
Yeah, that was absolutely true on all accounts. It would be more of a, I would trade a truth for a lie.
Yeah, that's because that's how the game, like, especially through message marks in the game, tend to do. About half of them will be true, and about half of them will be horrible lies trying to kill you.
Mm.
Or the message, need humanity.
Or try jumping.
Yeah,
try
jumping. There's a lot of praise the sun. There's a lot of them that just sort of like, okay, that's noise, that's something. Trap ahead, and there's no trap.
Try illusionary wall.
A lot of those are there are a lot of frustrating moments. But I'm sure that at least equally frustrating to that was everyone who was following along for this lengthy experiment of mine and who knew about the game and how things worked and who watched me sort of get things really wrong and make horrible guesses and even worse, in some cases, have those guesses reinforced so that I carried this, like...
Nobody wants to see you go hollow.
There was a motto throughout the entire stream of the game, and that was confirmation bias and its victims.
Yep.
Like,
so many times it would just occur.
See, I only ever caught one, and eventually about that, and I'm like, well, okay, maybe I caught more than that, but I guess you guys are keeping closer track of that than I am, because I was primarily concerned with performing and doing the game at a reasonable pace. I was terrified that it would turn into one of these things where I'm just sort of wandering around for hours and trying to do anything that even vaguely resembles progress and just sort of like getting stuck or lost. And there were a couple of times when I'm like, I don't know where to go.
Welcome to episode 327.
Right. Thankfully, I only did it in 34. Episodes. I have them all uploaded on YouTube in a huge playlist. I was just today, actually, having gotten the credits yesterday and fresh off of recording this. So, okay, can we start in just the Undead Asylum?
Oh yeah,
go from there.
I guess we should have a plan of attack. Should we discuss game mechanics or just discuss the game as it unfolds?
I think game as it unfolds first, because game mechanics will kind of crop out of that.
Yeah.
So things we encounter along the way that as you kind of encountered them.
Yes.
So starting with notes from the Undead Asylum, the first thing I have is running.
Right.
Yeah, I either failed to read that message or just immediately forgot that message.
Yeah, some explanation. The game drops you into a prison, essentially, at the beginning, and gives you little to no instruction. Mm-hmm. But there are marks on the ground left by the developers that, should you somehow stumble over and read, tell you the movement mechanics of the game.
Yeah, like I think the first one is camera. It's like right stick for camera.
And it locks you in a small room with a glowy on a corpse that is a key that unlocks the door to the room. So in order to progress past that point, you have to figure out how to move and how to interact with things. So, and then past that, it just sort of has movement controls on the ground and just sort of sets you free.
Yeah, and that's about the point where I'm like, okay, they're just telling me the controls. I get it. And then I must have missed the running thing. And worse, like, when I would touch the run button, as it were, I would, like, roll or, like, dodge, because that's the same button.
Yeah.
Because it has multiple, it's jump if you're if you're running and hit it, it's roll,
it's the fast step.
It's backstep. So, yeah, I was convinced that I had picked a slow guy, because it's like my character class.
You did end up as a slow guy.
It's worth noting that the starting class you pick, of which there are several, only determines your starting stat and equipment. And you can spec into anything and pick up anything.
I didn't know that.
You can also find, like, throughout the game, you'll find sets of the rest of the starting equipment of the other classes. You'll find, I think at one point you noted, you found, like, the rangers or, like, stuff, or the, you know, the knights stuff. So you just find all of those throughout the game, and you can kind of...
Yeah. So nothing is unique to the character you pick at the beginning.
Hmm.
Yep. Just the stats.
Yeah, I didn't know that. And I was convinced that I was, like, I had just picked a guy who was kind of slow. And, you know, because you would tilt a little, and that would walk, and then a little more, and you would sort of, like, jog. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Trundle.
I'm just a slow guy, and I'll get him, and then, you know, there's a situation very early on where you kind of want to run, where it's like a long hallway and a guy shooting at you from the end of it, and you need to catch up with him, and he even runs away a little bit. So it's a decent scenario, and I just whiffed the lesson.
That one's definitely on me. You roll the one.
Yeah, and then I roll instead of running, and then I forget when I finally started running.
it was some point in the Undead Burg.
It was after the Burg.
Okay, I thought you started running up the bridge in the Undead Burg, because every player will spend about 3 hours in the Undead Burg dying, learning the controls,
There is an extra restriction for me very early on, which I had to repair my controller because the right stick was making electrical contact on one of its potentiometers. So it would just get electrified and randomly assign a potential, which got interpreted as flailing the stick wildly. And so I would periodically just sort of look at the sky or look at the ground, and I couldn't handle it.
The first, probably 3 or 4 videos before the controller repair video will reflect that.
I'm
in those videos, because you can see me messaging him, telling him it's not the game, and then him getting mad.
Oh, there was also the video on the Games for Windows Live that was both of us in there fixing the
another quiddity of Games for Windows Live is that while you are allowed to assign any password that you want to your Windows account, if you use a special character in it. Games for Windows Live specifically does not understand that. And so while there you can get your like fake email thing, no problem, and log in there, and it's like, what the hell is wrong with this? Yeah, you can't have a special character. So I had to change my password to something that, spoilers, doesn't include a special character anymore.
And you'll be happy to know that sometime in November, the rumors on the wind are that Bandai Namco, or whatever, which, scratch that, reverse it, is moving over to Steamworks off of Games for Windows Live.
I don't know what Steamworks is, but I guess I'll learn.
It's what Steam uses for multiplayer.
Ew. I'm not hip with the
One other thing I wanted to touch on while we're talking about kind of out of game things, right, was the game manual.
The game manual.
You read a dubious document with.
I'm gonna pull up the manual and try to see if there's. I remember there being some flat lies in it.
There are flat lies. Falsehoods.
There's a lot of useless stuff that was about as useful as freaking dialogue in Castlevania 2.
The graveyard duck.
I was looking for the graveyard duck for like half the damn game.
Okay, one of my favorite lies I remember from both the manual and character creation is you can choose a gift for your starting character, which is basically an item you start the game with.
Mm-hmm.
These are of varying usefulness. You picked humanity.
Twin humanity. I remember that.
Yeah. One of the items is the tiny beings ring. And it sounds amazing because if you read the item description in both the manual and the character creation, it says slowly regenerates health over time.
Oh, no.
This is false.
Yeah, the actual
it raises
item.
Your max HP by 5%.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Like, yeah, I eventually found that. No, it was Onion Head Man gave it to me as a gift when I
Siegmeier.
He was Siegmeier?
Yeah.
Okay.
Siegmeier.
I remembered Sieglinde, he was Onion Head Man.
Yes.
Onion Head Man.
But yeah, the manual. The hope was when you were reading it that the manual might mention how to run. Back when you were first reading it, but a lot of the controls were...
Every control was PC control.
PC, and it didn't even mention running.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, click to attack. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Mm-hmm.
But like many things in the game, it is both a hindrance and a assistance in...
A boon.
Teaching you. A boon, yes.
Right,
that's a good
word. So I did that just to silence some naysayers, I guess. Just be like, oh, well, if you'd read the manual, you'd know. And I'm like, okay, fine. Manual is allowed. I'm reading it. And then I, of course, since I had to prove that I read it, that was when I decided to broadcast that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I did read the manual. I did make a character. I did eventually fix my controller. But only after getting like halfway through the Undead Burg.
Yep.
Yeah. I did not take on the Minotaur with a janked up controller.
That's good.
That would have been difficult.
That would have been frustrating. I still died to him a whole lot. I still got really close by throwing firebombs, and then I died anyway. I'm like, no, I'm out of these things.
You had a very important friend in the Undead Burg, though, didn't you?
The guy who sold me a club.
Yeah, the club.
The club. The club. Defined your run.
The club.
It did. After a while, I forget when it was, but I was using the broadsword for a very long time, and it's just sort of like, okay, they hand it to you, first weapon, you get used to kind of fighting and whatever, and then I'm like, man, this is sharp. I'm fighting skeletons. I should be crushing them. There's a club.
I think at that point your weapons were wearing out too from the hours of fighting in the burg.
Yep, without a way to repair them at that point.
There is, but you kind of have to know about it.
Right. And I looked at the durability. And I'm like, you know what? Club has a lot of durability. Let's use this.
Yeah, you picked up the club. You also picked up the club over the reinforced club, which is the club with barbed wire on it.
Mm.
It's the nail bat, but.
I did. I think I could. I think I couldn't afford the other one at the time or something.
Probably.
That's fair. But, yeah, the club is, no joke, a legit weapon and a good weapon, and...
Well, I'm glad to learn that.
Yeah.
I would have also accepted that if I had picked a really terrible weapon and just sort of forced my way through the game despite
that. You know
that.
What?
Well,
you managed to do both.
So, should we talk about upgrading weapons at this point?
Should we?
Okay, yeah, let's depart a little bit from the Undead Burg and talk about weapons and upgrading weapons. So let me tell you what I eventually learned.
All right.
Okay, Titanite Shards, the basic one called Titanite Shard. It's pretty good. You can use it at basically any blacksmith. And if you have a repair box or upgrade box or whatever it is that you buy, then at any bonfire, you spend one and spend some souls and upgrade a basic weapon. It costs more Titanite Shards as you go, and they can go as high as +5. Once you have a +5 normal weapon, you can ascend it if your blacksmith friend has an ember, and then you start spending different kinds of Titanite to upgrade it from there. And that's as much as I know.
And okay. That's all correct.
Yeah, that's all on. There's a lot of different ways. Like there are you ran into a lot of different embers that give you different upgrade paths.
I should also mention that it took me an extremely long time to figure that out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so for a very long time, I was using pretty much just club.
+3.
+3 lasted until Sense Fortress.
Sense Fortress.
good God.
Which was amazing.
Wait, no. I had the...
You didn't get the raw club.
The halberd. Not the raw club.
You had crescent... Oh, halberd, how dare you say that.
Halberd!
You had crescent axe.
Okay, crescent axe. That's what it was called. Well, I didn't remember.
It's a different.
I remember now that you're saying it's a different weapon type. But you know, there was that guy in the catacombs that I accidentally got murdered before talking to him.
Yeah,
and I got his
dog.
Thing, and I'm like, oh, I guess he's gone. I'll never learn what he had to say.
That'll make extra playthroughs better because you'll learn to meet that man.
Oh, excellent!
Learn what he does.
There are a lot of characters.
He does things.
He does things. He's a person. He's a person who.
Well, there are so many people in that who don't do anything.
He does things.
He does things. He's been in almost every From Software game too. He's a Forest Kaysen type recurring character.
Huh.
But any upgrade paths.
Upgrade paths.
You're right. You make a weapon +5. And then every blacksmith has its own different upgrade paths that can go up. Like the skeleton blacksmith can make fire weapons. The prison wizard in New Londo can make magic weapons.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, there's an ember for him?
There's two embers for him.
I thought that was just kind of a joke, because every time I would find one, I would talk to him, and he's like, that's some shitty ember, I can't use that.
There's two wizard embers that the... prison wizard will accept, and so the there's different upgrade paths, and they're of different usefulness.
It was very difficult to figure out just from the numbers that the game reported what was actually going on. For instance, I kept using the raw club so much because it had this number on it, and a large number would pop out when I would hit an enemy. And if I can't believe in that one, I can't believe in anything. So I would switch to something that had, like, okay, if Raw Club was 150 physical and 0 on everything else, and I had this other club, because they're all clubs, that was, like, 100 here, 100 here, then I would I expected, looking at that, that should do more, because you add these two numbers. But in fact, it would do less, and I don't know why.
Well, it's because... if you deal multiple kinds of damage with a single attack, you're encountering two different defenses at once.
Mm-hmm.
So they both get reduced, and it can be less effective than a single large amount of damage through the way defense works in the game.
Okay, so it's... is doing both of those numbers, but they're also defending it with both of their numbers.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay.
And
that's
about Raw.
Challenging.
Oh,
ah.
Yeah. So Raw has a special property associated Raw, with it.
Does Raw, it?
Yeah, Raw raises the base damage that a weapon does and lowers the scaling on it.
Oh, God.
So you get less numbers, you get less damage from your stats on a Raw weapon at the benefit of a higher base damage. The other drawback of Raw is that it has a lower cap. You can only upgrade it to plus 5, after which is you take a plus 5 weapon, make it Raw, then make it Raw plus 5. Almost every other upgrade path in the game upgrades another whole tier above that.
I thought that I had encountered the second cap, and that was just that, and I didn't try very hard to upgrade other things.
If you had made the
Correct.
Club a plus 10 club up the normal upgrade path, you'd eventually found the very large ember in New Londo, and then you would have been able to make a plus 15 club, which would have dealt a lot of damage because of your strength was so high, and the club has excellent strength scaling.
Right. I picked up on that. I'm like, ooh, an A.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas the Raw Club had C scaling, if I remember its end game. Yeah.
And one of the big draws of the club is its very excellent strength scaling, and that sort of made the. Here's the real joke of it all. Raw is supposed to be like a quick fix, like you're in between embers, and you can take a weak weapon like a longsword that doesn't have very good scaling anyways. And up until about Sin's Fortress, may have it be a formidable weapon. Like, you can kill Quelaag really well with a Raw weapon.
Who's Quelaag?
The Fire Spider. Yeah.
Oh, wait. I thought that you got to talk to her later.
You got to
Is
talk
that someone
to her
else?
It's her sister.
Oh, okay.
The one that doesn't talk.
Right. Oh, yeah, Talk At. There's so many characters who don't talk in this. What the hell?
There are.
Oh God. Okay. We'll get back to
we'll
Undead
back to
Parish.
Kale. We'll go back there. Yeah, we'll go back there. I guess one other thing on scaling is that when you add, so there's raw which we've talked about. You can bring a normal weapon up to plus 15, which just makes its numbers greater. And
wait, how do you get it above plus 5 though?
You have to ascend the weapon by talking to Andre.
Who
remember
you
go
had, Andre?
You had the choice between Raw Club and plus 6 Club.
Oh, that happened so long ago. Yes, I did. Okay.
And you were ensorcelled by the word Raw.
You saw the Raw Toast and you wanted it.
I'm like, yeah, the Raw Club, the thing that is only Club. I will.
So yeah.
Apparently this club had extra parts on it. There's a smaller club inside.
But so you, in order to upgrade a weapon from plus 5 to plus 6 or plus 10 to plus 11, you have to talk to Andre and modify it and then upgrade it. But there's also a lot of different
wondering about like Large Titanite or whatever it was called. I don't think I ever used one of those.
You used Large Titanite to make the Raw Club. And
like
poured,
just once, okay.
Every Large Titanite you had went into the club and made it maximum.
Oh yep.
So, you're right. I did manage to...
And then you use Large Shards to make a plus 6 to plus 10 weapon. And then you use chunks to make a plus 11 to plus 14 weapon. And then to get it up to plus 15, you need a Titanite slab, which are very rare.
I don't think I found any of those.
You did not. There are two guaranteed in the game.
One of them is behind Siegmeier's side quest, which is very easy to mess up.
One of them is behind a boss at...
there are side quests? Hold on, there are side quests?
If you interact with NPCs throughout the game, they sort of have their own little stories as they go off and do their own things.
Mm-hmm.
And then what you do and how you interact with them will change how those little stories play out.
So, for instance, when you talk to Siegmeier in the times you encountered him, when you talk to him in Sen's Fortress and turn the boulder for him, then you encountered him later in New Orlando. So, and he was talking about, you know, fighting these Silver Knights off, and he gave you the tiny beings.
Yes, he did give me the tiny beings.
That was kind of part of his quest, and it continues on. You meet Zieglind.
Yeah.
And but there was a point where you ran into Zieglind at Firelink Shrine and just said, "No, I haven't seen Siegmeier," and that just
He's like, "Have you seen my dad lately?" And I'm like, "No, I haven't. Not since I saw you." So I figured that she would have done more searching in that time.
The quests, the side quests like this, a lot of the characters will have these that aren't, like, they're not explicit, like, having a little quest.
Right, and, you know, I don't mind that. It's just sort of...
And they sort of break very
easily. Yeah, they break very easily.
Oh, jeez.
Siegmeier's in particular, because it's so long, has many places where you make you tell them the wrong thing, and then it just ends.
Mm-hmm.
See, that I feel that's sloppy. Like, if they're going to have this thing, actually make the choices mean something. Sort of like Way of the Samurai, where it's not like, oh, it just stops, but it's just a different branch on the path.
Yeah, yeah, you go ahead.
It would be cause to have fewer of them, but have the ones that there are mean something, or like be able to see like what happens for yes, no.
I was going
to
say that
sort
of
like
them,
yes, nothing.
Some of them do pan out that way. For instance, you did encounter Solaire at the end of the game.
Oh yeah,
This is moving very late, but that is sort of a. There are actions you can take to not encounter Solaire at that point and have a different thing play out.
Well, yeah, that made me really sad. I mean, I had to fight him for my life, really.
He went hollow, which is a term the game uses.
Hollow is an overloaded word.
It's a little confusing.
I eventually got it, and I was talking just a minute ago with Medibot about it, how the game is pretty good about this, actually. And I thought that Knight Solaire there was... He was the missing link, where we get to see all of the stages of what it means to like transition to being just this mindless zombie or skeleton. And, you know, we start out as you, and you're basically a dude, and you still get to make decisions, and we meet people who are just sort of on their way out. The guy at the Firelink Shrine really early on is clearly losing it. And then
You
fought him too, yeah.
I did?
You probably don't remember it, but he was you killed him in two hits.
Well, you killed him in one hit, and then he backflipped off a cliff. In New Londo.
That was him?
That was him.
There was some random dude who ran up. I'm like, what the hell is this? Crush.
Yep, that was him.
Oh, geez.
It was the guy in chainmail.
I didn't recognize him.
Generally, how it pans out is once someone no longer has a reason to keep doing anything, like their reason, their quest, like either finishes or breaks apart, is when they go mad and go hollow. That's how it usually goes out.
Well, that's kind of neat. Okay, so let's dial it back. We've talked about upgrading weapons, which I think I'm on board with by now. And we've talked about early Undead Burg. And let's presume that we're past the point where I have a functioning controller and can take credit for all of my actions to that point and not blame it on like controls, which, by the way, was terribly legitimate as a complaint, and I defy anyone to play Dark Souls with the controller that I was using.
So I guess we can start with the first session where that panned out, which is where you fought the Taurus demon and went forward for about an hour and a half, ending a session with, "I can't pull this lever, I'm too stupid."
That was amazing. Everyone in the zoo started hollering when that happened.
I don't remember that.
There's a lever. The undead parish has a front gate
right.
that you could not open. There's a lever on the side of it that you just walk up to and hit A and it opens. And you walked up to it either with your shield held or about half a step too far away from it.
He was on the side of it.
Oh, you were on the side of it. And you were just like, because you were about an hour into not having found a bonfire, having beaten a boss and not knowing where to go.
And you were out of Estus at that point, too.
Yeah, yep. I was completely worn. I was worn out both in game and out, I think.
The game does that to you after a time. And
and then we just hear you say, "I can't pull this lever. I'm too stupid." And we just start losing it.
It was too good.
That is so perfect. Oh my god. But oh my god.
The point there, though, was that you did walk from the Taurus demon all the way past the Drake and through basically up to the undead parish in one go without dying.
I think, yeah, that was impressive. Like, before which we go too much farther, we have to say...
Which brings me to a point. You are really damn good at the combat in this game.
You are good at moving, you are good at fighting, you are good at making combat decisions.
Oh my god. Well, that's the thing that kind of mystified me. Because the very little bit of information that did filter to me that I didn't, like, completely screen out was people just saying, "Kaz, you own the monsters so hard in this." I'm like, are you kidding? I suck at this. I've died, like, a million times. I died to the Taurus demon. I died to that cliff over there. I died to...
You would take information
from... I died to the goddamn sweet baby rays.
And they'll kill you. Dangerous. Yeah, they're dangerous. Everything's dangerous. The sweet baby rays in that room end more speedruns than anything.
Jesus.
But the thing is that, like, you would encounter a enemy that you could not fight, and you would... Like, this is exemplified by your, like, going a little further ahead. You're basically, like, going headfirst into the Tomb of the Giants.
An endgame area.
An endgame, literally.
Wait, what?
An endgame area. As,
the
like,
plus
your
three club.
Second, with the plus three club, and you just plowed through it, just learning how to fight every enemy. you had to learn to use, like, very unorthodox tactics to, like, double hit the dogs from above because your club didn't do any damage, and
the
just
cliff.
Powered through. You both know the mechanics of the game and know how to implement them very well.
Yeah. It just, when the game tries to tell you things like the lever,
sometimes you didn't, like, the cues misfired and both parties did not align.
Well, that's something that with the I guess you just have to take a completely new experience and intentionally not read up about it in any way or have anyone guide you through it to get the same kind of experience. Because when you already know this stuff, mm-hmm. you're looking at me and you're like, my God, how can he not figure it out?
Well, with respect to you getting into the Tomb of the Giants specifically... You bypassed a wall that the game put up to prevent you from getting into it by jumping off of a cliff. If I remember that right.
Wait.
The game is supposed to prevent you entirely from getting to the Tomb of the Giants, but you fell into a correct hole, which let you bypass a bridge.
Yeah.
We're getting ahead of ourselves, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the main point of it is you were very good at the game, at fighting. But aspects of your personality that are stubborn were your biggest hindrance because it caused confirmation bias, like a step away too far from Andre while you were undead.
Caused you to half of the game figure that you could not talk
to
him.
I just learned it was in like the third to last video where I finally figure out that, wait a minute, I just talked to him and my number was black. Holy shit. And this is like,
it was
huge.
Beautiful.
That was
we weren't
glorious.
Sure if we were going to figure that one out before the end of the game.
I mean, there were all these messages that said "need humanity," and then it's like I forget what, like one of the other characters or something in the game said, "Oh, Andre doesn't like Hollows."
Well, Andre says, "Neither of us want to see you go hollow."
Right, mm-hmm. And that's
he says that, and what he's saying is, "I don't want you to go mad."
Yeah, I eventually got there.
Yeah.
So that was probably the biggest and least damaging one.
Everyone's favorite. Why was that?
That one's just charming because I could even see myself back then. It's like, time to talk to Andre. Pulls out humanity crush.
It was really nice because it meant that you were human a little more often than normal, and that allowed for a little more interaction. Yeah. Like, I don't think you would have gone into Sen's human the first time without the fact that you needed to talk to Andre to make your raw club. So you needed to be human, which allowed you to encounter both me and, anyway, again, getting ahead of myself.
Right. That was one of the charming bits. So there was a lever.
So there's a lever.
Did I ever pull it? I don't remember that one.
You did.
Okay. You did. I can't pull this lever. Well, next, I'm too stupid.
another point that's next to the lever is a key.
A key called the basement key. What? Now, I'm going to read you the full text of the basement key. I have it up.
Mm-hmm.
If you press X on it to read item description.
Oh, Christ.
It says, opens the narrow passage heading down below at the far face of the great bridge in the Undead Burg. The lower Undead Burg is a treacherous place. Do not turn your back on the wily thieves or the wild dogs who serve the Capra demon.
Oh,
there was about a 2-video period where you just had no clue where to go, and the game had actually gated you so that the one of two only methods of progress you had was through that door, and you didn't know you had a key for it.
Let's see. I finally went to that area after going through the forest and, like, using my broadsword on the moth thing.
Yes.
The sorcery moth. And at that point, I was really lost. And I started just talking to anybody. And I talked to Club Salesman again, and he had a key for sale. And I'm like, oh, a key. And, you know,
the residence key.
And unlocked a couple places in Undead Burg. Mm-hmm. And then saw this other door that also unlocked. And I'm like, wait, I have the key for that one too? Oh, this is where I should have been, like, all this time. And
so I guess to explain the quick, I want to give a quick overview of how the game kind of gates you, because it's the beginning of the game wants you to go ring both of the bells, fighting the gargoyles and the Quaileg, the fire spider down below. Once you ring both of the bells, Sen's Fortress is the game makes it quite obvious that that is the way forward, and you're kind of put on a set path all the way up until you get to Ornstein and Smo, fighting those two. From there,
Daylight and Dollar Short, the golden boys,
Fad Fatty and Arbuckle,
Barkley,
Bad Boy Slim, Barkley and Jordan. There's a million names for those guys.
Yeah. Okay.
After that point, the game opens up to the four Lord Souls that you need to acquire, and once you acquire all four of those, the last area.
Right, then you can go to Taurian and fight the Mother Brain.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
You had to go through Norfair, you had to go through Brinstone, you know. But, so you started, I just wanted to get that ahead because the game does kind of gate you early in that you do need to fight both the Gargoyles and Quaileg, and after you beat the Gargoyles, you had a lot of really good fights against them, figuring out their moves. All of a sudden the second one appears and, you know, you fight those. Then it's, well, where do I go from here?
Yes. I remember. Okay. So my own recollection was, I had some fights where I lost a bunch and got disheartened. And then I, like, in the next video session, had some really good fights, including one where, like, someone in, I got humanity so that I could get Knight Solaire on my side, and someone invaded, and I'm like, no! And Goomba stomped him, And then I'm like, ah!
That was amazing that you killed a human. That was nobody in the zoo, by the way.
That was just a random human.
That was a wild invader.
Yep. So, I guess one thing I have noted here for the gargoyle fights is Gargoyle Axe Poison is the way I have it written. Is a mechanic that the game doesn't explain that I guess I'd like to take the moment to. Whenever you would equip the Gargoyle Axe, all of a sudden you get a bunch of bars that were...
Yeah, I saw that, and I'm like, oh, shit. Is that harming me?
What that's doing is the Gargoyle Axe ups your resistances to poison, toxic, and curse, I think?
Maybe curse.
Oh, my God.
But the game calculates them by just saying, okay, well, your value was this, and now it's...
And so it's displaying the new resistance value, and oh my god.
You have a trace amount of poison left over because the bar became bigger, so your poison resistance went up, so it calculated that as having a tiny bit of poison.
Right. So that's
I thought
why
it was harming me, and that's why I ultimately gave up on it. I'm like, oh, this thing is too dangerous. I'll
it's
harm
good you
myself.
You gave up on it because the Gargoyle Tail Axe is really terrible.
Oh.
But the Gargoyle Halberd, which any of the gargoyles can drop, and I think you got from one of the ones in Anorondo.
Yeah, I got one from the first one that I ran across in Orlando. Yeah,
it's a very excellent weapon that does the same thing. So there are different weapons that do that, and those are
I clearly have no particular love for excellent weapons in Dark Souls.
It's true.
That's going to make subsequent playthroughs so great, though, isn't it?
You'll get to try out new things.
Like, I can move! Oh my god!
I'm fast, and I'm doing damage!
I have been training in ultra gravity this whole time.
With this raw club.
The fat man with huge weapon plan is a very respectable and good plan.
Now, that was a positive tactic, if I could... interject at this point. From the very beginning, from before I started playing the game and was in character creation, I glommed on to the tough, slow, armor-heavy guy and healing miracles as a positive strategy for approaching this game, imagining that if I can take a hit and live, I will end up learning more than if I get immediately killed and try to be fast.
And it's actually a good plan if you can tank hits and then give back bigger hits.
Right.
That second part being the problem that the run encountered.
The big
thing
is...
Until you got the dragon tooth.
Right. The big thing is that you had... Like, you got the stone armor actually pretty close after the gargoyles. You explored the forest below. You
Yeah, I ran past the... headless demon lightning thing.
Yep.
Whatever
so,
those are called.
The Titanite demon.
Those are okay. Cool.
So you picked up on let's see, that went you got the stone armor there and you picked up hovels much later in Anorlando.
Mm-hmm.
So you picked up on the super heavy armor that gives you the ability to take hits without being staggered, which is kind of the most important thing to being able to hit back if you're using that plan.
Right.
And Hovels is the best armor in the game for that. Because
it is the biggest, it is the heaviest, it is the hugest.
There are two armors that can be more protective, I think, but they don't have as much poise. So if you want to be rock steady, you wear Hovel's armor.
Yeah, I did notice that once I had switched from stone to that. It's like, wait, I'm not getting, like, nudged at all. I'm just sort of, like, damage would happen and I wouldn't notice. And that was its own kind of danger.
It's a danger, but it's also a really good thing.
Yeah, like, once you pick up on the fact that that's happening, it's like, oh, I can hit back now. Mm-hmm.
You don't get interrupted in the middle of your hit. I knock back.
Yeah, which is something light armor characters have to struggle with because they get nudged in the middle of their combo and then they get ruined by that. It's a common tactic.
Okay, I did beat up the gargoyles and I went through the basement past Andre into the forest.
I have two notes on there. The first is treasure goblins.
Treasure goblins.
You encountered the first treasure goblin of the game there. Those little mini
Titanite. Okay, so while you're walking down the cliff to the lower area, that was a lizard there, and he had like special Titanite in him when I finally killed him.
Mm-hmm. So the game has treasure goblins.
I'm sorry. I have two sets of notes on the forest because you went there twice. So. Mm-hmm.
I feel like I went there like a million times.
You did.
Yeah.
It's big and dark, so it's hard to tell where you've been. So I'm like, it's new. It's always new. And there's okay. So there's also a special door there that you have to buy a key from Andre for like 20,000 souls or something.
The seal of Artorias.
Yeah, the crest of Artorias.
The crest of Artorias. Yeah.
So you either have to buy.
Oh man,
that...
I forgot that is what he was named.
Mm-hmm. There's lots of hints that there is where you go when you want to talk to Artorias.
I never knew that I wanted to talk to Artorias.
Yeah.
You
kind of wiggled it backwards. The guy.
Yeah, you went the other. Yeah, you basically went backwards on it. Yeah.
Oh god.
The new Londo guy also says if you seek the abyss, you should seek Abyss Walker Artorias, and then they sort of nudge you in that direction. Mm. But anyways, you can either the crest of Artorias is either used to open that door, or you can go the long way around, which requires killing the Hydra.
Which
so you have to do one of the two.
I ended up doing both of.
Yeah.
Okay. Just looking for a place to go and a thing to do. Because I'm like, I remember that there was this huge stupid Hydra. Let me beat him up now that I'm in a beating huge things up mood.
You got a scale, and that lets you get the dragon's tooth upgraded. Yeah.
You know what it did?
And that's a worthwhile upgrade. You also fought yourself from the future there.
Cliff! Freaking yeah. Clifford!
Hovel the Rock!
His weapon, he wears Hovel's armor. He wields Hovel's shield, and he wields the dragon tooth.
I did eventually remember that. You
should read the description of Hovel's armor sometime.
I got his ring.
Yeah.
That's the ring that let me wear heavier stuff for so long.
Mm-hmm. One of the most powerful rings in the game for that reason. But Hovel is a bishop. That guy who crushed you.
That guy
was a bishop.
Jeez. Yeah, he did crush me pretty hard, but I exploited his AI. That was okay. There was a phase that I went through, and it lasted for a very long time, where I decided this game is not being particularly fair to me vis-a-vis like not being able to upgrade weapons, that kind of thing. So I'm not going to treat it fairly either. A fighter uses any tactic at his disposal, and victory is victory. So. After the gargoyles, when I was in the forest, I was always angling to, like, shove things off cliffs or otherwise, like, exploit their AI or take shortcuts any way that I could. And when I got to Clifford, I couldn't convince him to come out and, like, go near cliffs or anything, and I could not move him at all. So instead of that, I would sort of, like, duck in the door, because I figured that he would not leave. He absolutely will not leave that room. And I'm like, okay, what if I... Aha! And then he would commit to an attack, I would rush in, get like one hit, and then retreat. And this tactic is what I eventually used to defeat Clifford. Which is like actually Hovel the Rock or whatever you call him.
Yes.
I had special names for a lot of enemies because I would encounter them so many times that I'd started naming them and talking to them like old friends. Like Raymond and the Sweet Baby Rays, for instance. I ran past those guys like 1,000 times trying to get to the gargoyles. I got very good at fighting Raymond.
The Raymond.
And he did not understand stairs very well. There was a Black Knight on the cliff face that I got the Black Knight shield from.
Kenneth.
And I eventually...
Oh, the Black Knight shield. Oh, my lord.
That's worth talking about.
That is worth talking about. I don't have it noted, but I have Black Knight noted.
This is about the right area to start talking about that. I had, like, walked down the cliff, and there's Kenneth, and I'm like, oh, man, we gotta beat him up. And I eventually was able to, by exploiting how he runs up, like, around this corner, and then I would, like, drop Goomba Stomp, run back up, and then he would get confused, aim directly at me. And then I'm like, because I had tried fighting him fair, and he just pushed me back too much. And I'm like, oh my god.
So the Black Knights are a non-responding unique enemy type that are sort of scattered around the game. They're never really directly in your way. You can always go around them. And they sort of serve as like a mini-boss or a challenge that you can be rewarded for, because they always drop a useful upgrade material, and they very rarely drop one of two useful pieces of equipment. They can drop their shield, or they can drop their weapon, and they're both very powerful.
Yeah, their shield and their weapons are both completely viable, and in the case of the shield, one of the best possible choices for the end game.
Yeah.
Up to that point, I had been using the Grass Crest shield, which I had found eventually did figure out was a stamina restoring thing. And I'm like, oh, I'm green. I wonder what that means. Yeah, it makes you green. Mm-hmm. I killed Kenneth and got his shield. And I'm like, this is really good.
That's not a guaranteed thing at all.
Wow, and I thought it was.
It's a chance. You could also have gotten the halberd there.
Which is what the speedrun does, which we'll have to show you someday. They kill that guy until he drops his halberd.
I want to watch the speedrun. That sounds really exciting.
Yeah, it's less than an hour long.
Wow. I spent 80 hours. But then, you know, I didn't know anything, and these are, experts. How many hours have they spent total on the game?
And how much of the game are they going through, et cetera? Right.
And it's kind of like Super Metroid in a lot of ways, right down to its speed run and how precise it is.
Yeah, it really is. Like, the more... Once I'm like, oh my god, Four Soul, and they unlock the final boss. I'm like, oh...
You would keep comparing it to Super Metroid, and it really does have a lot in common with it.
It does. Okay, so I was on the cliff face and managed to get Kenneth's shield and stuck with it for basically forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that scene... Okay, so that was... That was correct.
It was a correct and good decision.
The other thing to note there is that the Grass Crest shield is on the ground right by the right by Kenneth, right mm-hmm. behind. The Grass Crest shield is also one of the best shields in the game because, and you did exploit this fact later, that stamina regenerating effect works even while you're not like holding it out.
Right. If you're two-handing a weapon, you can have
the choice.
The buff.
Interacting with other players, it's the shield you're going to see the most because it has very light restrictions on what you need to use it, like 12 strength, 12 or 11 strength, and that's it. Mm-hmm. It's relatively light.
Mm-hmm.
It has crap stability, which means when you block, it'll take more stamina out when you block, and it has some chip damage on it. But most people don't care because the stamina is that huge.
Mm.
Yep. Being able to attack more than 3 times... or recover. Anyway, so you were in the forest. You didn't really know where to go, so you ended up heading back to Skeleton Land, because I guess we didn't mention, and this is kind of an important thing about Dark Souls, is right from the beginning at Firelink Shrine, there's the kind of obvious graveyard to go
yes.
to.
I did. I think that was the first place I went after the Firelink Shrine, before even finding Undeadburg, but I got beaten up by the powerful skeletons there.
And that's the game telling you, don't come here.
Yeah.
You're not ready yet.
I understood that, and I went somewhere else. I kind of picked up on that. But once I was like, I had found all this stuff, I had this armor, I'm like, I'm powerful. This is a place that I could possibly go, and I don't know where else to go. Let's try it.
And so in the catacombs, I've got a couple notes here. One is the... Yeah. Oh yes, I think that was the first yeah. invasion, right?
That was the first of us.
Well,
it's the first of us.
Yeah, I had been invaded before, but not by you guys.
There was two in the parish. One killed Kaz. Kaz killed the other.
Yep.
And I invaded Kaz, and I think he had the stone armor at this point. Yep. And I think I offended you because I was dealing so little damage to you.
Yeah,
I had took two fist weapons and upgraded them to +10, thinking, ah, he doesn't have that much health. This will be good enough. I underestimated the stone armor.
Stone armor.
I thought you were just punching with your bare fist to pester me. I thought you were like, ah, oh, great. Okay, he's...
No, I'm just following you through this entire...
And I jumped off the cliff because I could not avoid you getting my souls from you killing me, but I did not want you to get the humanity from me. I wanted to give you as little help as possible.
Yep. So,
I was honest to God trying to kill you, and it's been, I have not been able to tell you until now.
Yep.
That's,
it didn't work out.
That's excellent.
Too tough.
Too huge. The stone armor and the hovels is just, like, so huge for taking hits.
They're very huge.
So in there, two things I have noted on the catacombs. First is the word coffin.
There is a coffin that you sat in.
Yeah.
For some time.
Yeah, it's at it, and I'm like, oh, that's cute.
If you sit in that coffin for about 40 seconds, something happens, and you got out right before.
Yep. Oh, God damn it.
It has a purpose. I guess we'll leave it at that.
I thought it was just like a flavor thing. Like, oh, that's cute. Like, there. And I guess I have no real expectation of that, given like everything else that happens in the game. But there are tons of levers that don't do anything, and you have to find the other side of them. Yeah, or I thought it might be like something where there's a nearby trap and you have to like get in it to avoid that trap, and I'm like, okay, that could happen, and that would be like a reason to have it be a one-off. But I remember I beat up the Titanite demon, and I'm like, he must be guarding something, and there was a ring, and then I got the ring, well, and I'm like, oh, okay, cool.
The item in the room with the casket was the Eye of Death, which is a usable item that I can't explain.
I would say that explanation, it affects New Game Plus in a weird... Anyway, it's a very unique item that doesn't affect you.
Oh.
It affects other players.
Mm-hmm. It barely does anything. But it does do things.
Yeah. So, the other note I have here is how you were able to bypass the roadblock that the game threw up. Do you remember the man that you thought that you had seen? Or maybe that you did see that was kind of standing by a lever in the catacombs.
Yeah! There was a man, and he was on like the other side of something. I'm like, wait, how do I get to the man? And then I finally got to the other side. The man wasn't there, and I felt cheated.
So that man controls... So you saw that there was a lever that controlled a bridge, right? It, mm-hmm. it flipped it. So there's a second bridge below that man was standing by a lever for. And if before you defeat...
Capper Demon?
If before you defeat Capper Demon, you try to walk across that bridge, the man will pull the lever and throw you into a pit.
Because he's a dick.
Oh.
So, and that's supposed to be the you cannot pass here, but there's also a couple ways to bypass that by falling down some stairs.
Or falling down a specific hole that lets you skip to the zone. There's like a million different ways to skip to the catacombs. It's amazing.
Yeah, but so you bypassed the message the game had that this was not the place to be, and that allowed you to fight Pinwheel,
Pinwheel was intended to be much earlier in the game than he ended up being, so there is no speed where you can fight Pinwheel where he isn't a joke.
Yeah, he did feel like kind of a softball compared to basically everything I had done to that point. And I'm like,
He can deal some heavy damage sometimes if you get caught in the crossfire, but
yeah, like I didn't beat him my first time. He still like took me out, but
he got you in the crossfire and it did enough damage to it. But he takes so much damage from basically everything.
Yep.
A fun thing to do is to go down there and fight him before upgrading any of your equipment and doing that as your first thing in the game, because it's still not all that hard.
So
upgrading longsword, go.
A thing to bring up before that was the first time you went into the catacombs, you dropped down these stairs, you found a circle of stairs that goes down, and you drop down a pit to a shiny. You drop down another pit.
Yep.
And then you looked down and you couldn't see the bottom, so you used the bone to leave.
Yep, I did. I used the homeward bone, because that's a pit. That's too perilous.
That one slayed me. That one,
yeah.
Because that is the way, if you fall down, you know, because you encountered it, that's the way to the skeleton blacksmith.
A blacksmith who has a beard made out of bone.
Mm-hmm. And talks like he's like talking through a tin can, sort of.
Not only that, but he's like super amplified and clipping. Like that guy clips like crazy, and I'm like, oh my god, quiet it down.
It's on purpose, because I think he's like a magical skeleton being who doesn't have lungs or mouth. Mm-hmm. He just rattles his rib cage
right,
to speak.
There's like no reason for him to have a voice in the first place, so why not make it huge?
Yeah.
I remember getting the shiny and then being like, this looks perilous. That's before I had discovered the technology of dropping small rocks.
I was very happy you found the technology of dropping small rocks, because it's not one that is commonly used, but it's a really useful technology, even though it lies to you.
Yeah, sometimes the rocks, while they're falling, will hit the wall and get stuck.
Also, the rocks do not detect death planes.
They don't detect... There's death planes. There's certain distances, like certain pits, that while not lethal to fall down, you would not have a way to get out. So they have a death plane that if you go past the death plane, it kills you so that you can't get stuck.
Oh, see, I thought that was the reason for having a dark sign. Like, in case you ever get stuck,
That's there for the bug fix getting stuck.
That's like a bug fix getting stuck and a actually semi-useful item. The important thing about the dark sign is if you use it to teleport and you already have a blood stain somewhere, that blood stain will stay there. So if you are in a bad situation and need to get back so that you can go find your body, you could use the dark sign and essentially not lose anything.
After a while, I stopped caring very much about my leavens.
And you know what? That's a very important thing.
Oh, my God. That was so frustrating. You were about 10 levels, 10 or 5 to 15 levels somewhere under-leveled because you never spent your souls.
Never. You would beat a boss, you'd go back to a bonfire, sit down with 80,000 souls and go, let's move on,
and then die
three times.
In Duke's Archives alone, I kept track. We lost 120,000 souls. That would have been at least 5 levels or so worth of leveling up.
Yep. And that was just how it was.
And there was nothing we could do. He said that this, you had, I don't know, but yeah, spend your souls, because they are transient.
Yeah. The other thing in the catacombs is you got to encounter the best skeleton, the Bone Wheels.
Bone Wheels. You got 2 of their shields. It's amazing. Their shields have a special attack.
They were a really cool enemy. I regret that they are only in that part of the game.
Are they?
Are they?
Because, like,
are they only in that part of the game?
Well, that's the only place that I found them.
Okay.
And
that's
all I can really state. So, yeah, and they, like, there's a ton of them in this one tiny little concentrated area, and I feel that is a waste because of how awesome they are.
Yeah. It kind of suits how they work, though. Like, at first you have a wider area to encounter a lot of them. So they all come at you from different directions, and they constantly attack you and pursue you, but are easily, you can sidestep them, like a charging bull or something. And then if you try to run away from them towards the boss, the corridor narrows down. So suddenly you have 5 or 6 of these bone wheels bearing down at you down this narrow hallway.
I like how cool they are, but they don't fit very well with the game's established mechanics. Because, like, every other enemy in the entire game, including bosses, has, like, attack and then stamina recover moments where they are just sort of like, nope, I'm attacking constantly because I don't care.
They roll, and then they have to, at some point, like, do the Akira bike slide where they turn sideways and stop. So they have to do that. They have to eventually stop. And you either have to sidestep them and let them roll into a wall.
It also
for a
felt
while.
Like they were unsafe to approach from any direction, and I would constantly like take little hits while I was killing them. And I'm like,
that's
kind of
how they work. I like them a lot. They're very frenetic, and not a lot of enemies
would
pursue you that much.
I would have liked them more if I hadn't had to deal with them so many different times.
Yeah,
yeah.
In that one place.
That pit is very dangerous because
that pit had a Black Knight in it too.
It did.
The Black Knight, who's the only Black Knight weapon he did not get. Rip in peace, Black Knight X.
Oh, well that there was one time when I was dropping down there pursuing the Pyromancer.
Mm-hmm.
Because I figured out that if I kill him, I can start killing the red skeletons. Permanently.
You were kicking the red skeletons off the
cliffs.
They weren't dying.
They weren't.
Were hitting the bottom and then climbing up back after you. It was amazing.
Because the pits aren't bottomless. They actually lead down to the bone wheel pit in all instances.
Right. I was mitigating them. That's what, again, I'm treating it as like victory is victory, any tactic at my disposal. And I just like, I can't get past these invincible reassembling skeletons. And so I'm like, what do I do? And I would lure them sometimes a very long distance out to the nearest cliff and keep kicking them until they fell off.
Well, the thing there was you continued to do that even after killing the little necromancers, because you had encountered the skeletons. They didn't die. Therefore,
I think he eventually learned that if you kill the necromancer, they start dying, though.
I figured that out before getting to the bottom.
Yeah, yes, that was. Yes, so, I think yes, you noticed did. They were giving you souls at some and point, like, and then that they were dying.
Why is that? What is different? And I finally figured out I was looking for the pyromancer because I had, enemies respawn, and then he wasn't there. And then that sort of like that finally clicked in place. I didn't learn until much, much later, by reading some like flavor text or something, that you can kill them even without killing that guy.
Yeah. If you kill them with a weapon that has a divine auxiliary effect, the skeletons will stay dead, which is kind of a strange thing to include in the game for how narrow it is, but it works.
Hey, you man, it helped extremely in one fight a little later. Right, catacombs.
So moving
on.
Oh
my god, I remember. Okay, so about the Black Knight. I was, at that point, I knew that the Pyromancer was the target. Like, if I kill him, then it doesn't matter if I die. I've killed him, and I'll be able to kill the skeletons one by one and go on. And there was one time when I was going after him, and he has the two little archers next to him, and there are two others who are, like, in that area, and I lured them out. And then the freaking Black Knight showed up and just chumped me. Yeah. And I'm like, shit.
I know why that happened. At some point, you had kicked the skeleton into the hole, into a hole where in the room where the Black Knight is. And that had, like, woken up his AI and alerted him, and he started going on patrol.
The freaking skeleton summoned him.
The Black Knights will chase you almost to the ends of the earth. They have long chase distance.
They have a very long chase distance, and like every enemy has like its bubble where it'll notice you.
Yep.
Their bubbles are very large.
That's pretty incredible. I like to think that that's flavorful and in-world. Like, I kick the skeleton off, and he's like, whomp, and then the knight's like, what the shit is that? Dude, there's a guy up there. He kicked me off. Oh, shit, I'm gonna get his ass. And...
And he got you.
And he did. He got me before I could get to the Pyromancer, and I was terrified that I would have to fight through him every time if I was going to get to the Pyromancer. But I strolled through it anyway, killed that Pyromancer, got his Skull Lantern, which I failed to learn how to use.
That was also a huge part of the tomb.
I was in the Tomb of the Giants for rather a long time with no light.
So the Tomb of the Giants, as I mentioned earlier, is an endgame area. It is, as you found out, one of the four Lord Souls is there. It's in the back.
But the Tang Wall is in the way.
The Tang is in the way.
Yeah.
And you fought with that +3 club all the way through this endgame area, just to find the hindrance that the game says, no, you're not supposed to be here.
I fought past the soft barriers to get to the extreme, like through this hard area to get to the hard one.
Yes.
And the tomb is very difficult to get out of, mm-hmm. because you're supposed to go there when you have the Lord Vessel, and then leaving with the Lord Vessel is easy. The only way to walk out is a ladder that's hidden behind many giant skeletons, and it's sort of hidden. You eventually found it after hours,
I remember
me and
that Jens
one. Were contemplating, thinking, "Oh my, he's
yeah." We were just like, "Does it ladder. End here? Does it just end here? Do you get but, stuck in the tomb of the giants and never find your way out?"
We decided that if you had spent two whole streams in the tomb without finding a way out, that we were going to mercy kill the embargo and just tell you how to get out.
Ah. There is there's one place I remember absolutely running from.
The skeleton rave pit.
Yes. And while I did get some damage in on them and climb up the ladder and try to exploit their AI again, I'm like, this is too dumb. I'm going to come back here later.
That's and, not so bad when
I
you
never
can
did.
Two or three shots or a,
yeah,
the skeleton.
Yeah. Even with the Goomba stomp, I was like five-shotting them or something, and I just yep. couldn't rely on it to like get all of them together. And
because
it's also
hit,
still dark. Mm-hmm. Like it's extremely dark in there. If you don't know anything about this place, you get through. It's pretty dark through the entire game.
Yeah, the game's relatively dark,
and
the Tomb of the Giant is actually dark.
It's you see nothing. Like
your
I could,
sight radius is reduced.
I get to see myself. I could not tell if the step in front of me would lead to a pit or not. In most circumstances, I was taking like one step at a time. And I'm like, okay, is that it? And I was fooled, I think, by the okay. So you climb out of Pinwheel's coffin. And there's the Tomb of the Giants. And there's this little trail of glowing things that look completely out of place in the game and extremely tacky, like they belong in video games of the early 2000s.
Those were prism stones, by the way.
I eventually got there, but...
They have different colors.
They do, and they changed color.
Well, every time you go through, they change colors.
Okay.
Yeah
that's what was happening. But yeah, so I'm like, okay, so they have this little trail, and you're supposed to follow one to the next. Then I fought...
Big skeleton?
Right, Prometheus.
The dog skeletons.
Then I fought Prometheus, and he was extremely hard to fight in the dark. But I killed him. And
he killed Patches.
I slid down to, like, another place, because that still had a light on it. And then there were more of them.
Right, like, the big skeletons were...
A bunch of them at a time, and that was a little too much to handle, so I started like running past them. I forget at what point I figured out that you could use the skull lantern.
You were
I was just...
It's where you found the ladder out,
oh,
where
Christ.
Everyone breathed a sigh of relief. Oh my god, he knows the way out. He can leave.
Yep.
The run can continue.